Ender came and found that in the game he had become a child, though usually his figure in the games was adult. In fact, he was smaller than the other children. He got in line for the slide. The other children ignored him. He climbed up to the top, watched the boy before him whirl down the long spiral to the ground. Then he sat and began to slide. He had not slid for a moment when he fell right through the slide and landed on the ground under the ladder. The slide would not hold him. Neither would the monkey bars. He could climb a ways, but then, at random, a bar seemed to be insubstantial, and he fell. He could sit on the seesaw until he rose to the apex, then he fell. When the merry-go-round went fast, he could not hold on to any of the bars, and centrifugal force hurled him off. And the other children, their laughter was raucous, offensive. They circled around him and pointed and laughed for many seconds before they went back to their play. Ender wanted to hit them, to throw them in the brook. Instead, he walked into the forest. He found a path which soon became an ancient brick road, much overgrown with weeds but still usable. There were hints of possible games off to either side, but Ender followed none of them. He wanted to see where the path led. It led to a clearing, with a well in the middle and a sign that said, "Drink, Traveler." Ender went forward and looked at the well. Almost at once, he heard a snarl. Out of the woods emerged a dozen slavering wolves with human faces. Ender recognized them. They were the children from the playground, only now their teeth could tear. Ender, weaponless, was quickly devoured. His next figure appeared, as usual, in the same spot and was eaten again, though Ender tried to climb down into the well. The next appearance, though, was at the playground. Again the children laughed at him. "Laugh all you like," Ender thought. "I know what you are." He pushed one of them. She followed him, angry. Ender led her up the slide. Of course, he fell through, but this time, following so closely behind him, she also fell through. When she hit the ground, she turned into a wolf and lay there, dead or stunned. One by one, Ender led each of the others into a trap, but before he had finished off the last of them, the wolves began reviving and were no longer children. Ender was torn apart again. This time, shaking and sweating, Ender found his figure revived on the giant's table. "I should quit," he told himself. "I should go to my new army." But instead, he made his figure drop down from the table and walk around the giant's body to the playground. This time, as soon as the child hit the ground and turned into a wolf, Ender dragged the body to the brook and pulled it in. Each time, the body sizzled as though the water were acid. The wolf was consumed, and a dark cloud of smoke arose and drifted away. The children were easily dispatched, though they began following him in twos and threes at the end. Ender found no wolves waiting for him in the clearing, and he lowered himself into the well on the bucket rope. The light in the cavern was dim, but he could see piles of jewels. He passed them by, noting that behind him eyes glinted among the gems. A table covered with food did not interest him. He passed through a group of cages hanging from the ceiling of the cave, each containing some exotic, friendly-looking creature. "I'll play with you later," Ender thought. At last he came to a door with these words in glowing emeralds, "The end of the world." He did not hesitate. He opened the door and stepped through. He stood on a small ledge high on a cliff overlooking a terrain of bright and deep green forest with dashes of autumn color and patches here and there of cleared land, with ox-drawn plows and small villages, a castle on a rise in the distance, and clouds riding currents of air below him. Above him, the sky was the ceiling of a vast cavern, with crystals dangling in bright stalactites. The door closed behind him. Ender studied the scene intently. With the beauty of it, he cared less for survival than usual. He cared little at the moment what the game of this place might be. He had found it, and seeing it was its own reward. And so, with no thought of consequences, he jumped from the ledge. Now he plummeted downward toward a roiling river and savage rocks. But a cloud came between him and the ground as he fell and caught him and carried him away. It took him to the tower of the castle and through the open window bearing him in. There it left him in a room with no apparent door in floor or ceiling and windows looking out over a certainly fatal fall. A moment ago he had thrown himself from a ledge carelessly. This time he hesitated. The small rug before the fire unraveled itself into a long, slender serpent with wicked teeth. "I am your only escape," it said. "Death is your only escape." Ender looked around the room for a weapon, when suddenly the screen went dark. Words flashed around the rim of the desk. "Report to Commander immediately. You are late. Green, green, brown." Furious, Ender snapped off the desk and went to the color wall, where he found the ribbon of green, green, brown, touched it, and followed it as it lit up before him. The dark green, light green, and brown of the ribbon reminded him of the early autumn kingdom he had found in the game. "I must go back there," he told himself. "The serpent is a long thread. I can let myself down from the tower and find my way through that place. Perhaps it's called the end of the world because it's the end of the games, because I can go to one of the villages and become one of the little boys working and playing there, with nothing to kill, and nothing to kill me, just living there." As he thought of it, though, he could not imagine what just living might actually be. He had never done it in his life. But he wanted to do it anyway.